Take your Bible, please. We're turning to 2 Timothy 4, and it's the words of the verse 6, just of the chapter, that is our text tonight. 2 Timothy 4, verse 6, the Apostle says, and he's looking forward to the end of his life, looking forward to eternity, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." The subject in the gospel message tonight is death, departure. I'd like you to consider that carefully, very relevant, as we think of all that died in defence of this land of ours, died in the great wars, the First and Second World Wars, even as we think of the deaths that have been announced to us as a congregation again today. May the Lord impress this truth upon every heart in the meeting. Death, departure. Let me point out to you just at the beginning of the message that in the scriptures death is viewed in a number of ways. For example, death is described as a sleep. The believers spoken of those who fall asleep in Jesus. Remember Paul writing to the Thessalonians said, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." And remember, that's only a description that's used of the child of God. As well as that, death in the Bible is described as an appointment. Think of those words of Hebrews 9 and 27. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. So death's an appointment. And let me remind you, it's an appointment that all must keep. Sometimes you miss an appointment, particularly you think of appointments being cancelled at present in the health service and so on. Here's an appointment, men and women, that everyone must keep. Death as well in the Bible is viewed as the taking down of a tent. When Paul was writing to the Corinthians, he said, "If the earthly house of this tabernacle..." The word tabernacle there refers to a tent. "If the earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved..." So the idea, the picture there is the taking down of a tent. And that's something that everybody in the army, everybody in the military would be familiar with. So death is viewed in many ways in the Bible. But here in our text, we have another view of death. Because here it's described as a departure. The picture in this verse is the picture of a ship raising the anchor, loosing the ropes, and then setting sail to finish the journey. Remember, as you think of that, that Paul was a frequent traveller. The New Testament tells us that he was in journeyings often. Paul knew all about travel, especially by ship across the Mediterranean. He knew all about sailing. He was very familiar with travelling on the sea. If you read through the book of Acts, and he tells the story, as Luke gives the record there, there's some references made to travelling by the sea. So it gives you some idea of their knowledge, their experience of travelling in those days. So what I want you to do is to picture the apostle. Picture him standing on the deck of a ship, as passengers often do. And he's looking out over the side at all of the activity there on the quayside. And as the ship is setting sail to bring him home on his journey. And as he watches all of the sailors and all of those that work in the port, in the harbour, as he watches them untie the moorings and pull up the anchor, he realises that death, the end of life, is just like this. That death is a departure. It's the departure from the foreign port, the foreign port of this world, in order to make the last voyage into the home waters of eternity. It is true, for everybody here tonight, you've often made a departure. When you go on a journey, you departed from home tonight to make the journey here to the service, to the church building. So it's true of us all, you've often made a departure to go on a journey, to go on a holiday, to go on a trip. Well, what I want you to do with me tonight is this. I want you to think of the last great departure that you will ever make, and that is the departure of death itself. I think, first of all, or let me emphasize, first of all, the certainty of this departure. Notice that he says, the time of my departure is at hand. Can I emphasize, brethren and sisters, men and women, that departing this life is something that is certain, absolutely certain. We've been reminded of that so forcibly in the service this evening already. And I'd like you to take that in. Take it to heart tonight. In fact, departing this life is so certain that the time has already been set. The time of your departure. It's not true of a ship. It's true of aeroplanes and so on, journeys, trains. The time of departure is set. One thing certain about your departure from this world that will differ from ships and trains and so on, your departure won't be late. It'll be right on time. Job said, the Lord has appointed our bounds. That's the time. The time you have upon this earth. The time you're going to leave. The time of your departure has been fixed by the Lord himself. Now you may not like that thought. You may not want to face up to it. But men and women, never forget that you're going to die. That is something that is beyond doubt. As I think it was George Bernard Shaw that said, there are two inescapable facts in this world, death and taxes. I think we can expect the taxes to increase, particularly as you think of the amount of spending the government is doing in the present time. But there's no doubt about that. Two inescapable facts in life, and they're death and taxes. Do you remember the woman of Tekoa? We must all needs die. Just think of those words. It's an imperative. We must. All. None are excluded. We must all needs die. So here's something that is absolutely sure, men and women. If you think of Paul, he knew the manner in which he would die. He was in the prison cell. He was waiting the martyr's death. He was waiting the martyr's crown. If you look there at verse 17, just go down the chapter, the end of the verse, he says, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Some of you that have been to Rome, visited the city, there's still the great Colosseum. Remember that the Christians were brought into the Colosseum and the lions were let out. That's how many of the Christians were put to death in the early days of the Roman Empire. So he's making a reference to that there. I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. He was spared at that particular time. But he's waiting the martyr's death. You may not think of yourself tonight. You may not know how you will die, whether it will be by old age, by disease, by accident. You don't know. But one thing you do know tonight, and that is the fact, the certainty that you will die. That's something that you must admit. Something, men and women, that you must face up to as you sit in the gospel service tonight. The certainty that you will die. There was a Christian one time, and he worked with an atheist. He sought to be a witness to the atheist. He spoke to the person about their soul, their need of salvation. But every time the atheist would reply and say, don't talk to me about God. Don't talk to me about the Bible. You know that I don't believe in those things. But one day the atheist foolishly said, there's nothing in the Bible. Just think of that. There's nothing in the Bible that I could believe in. The Christian said quickly, I know I could find something in the Bible that you could believe in. Well, the atheist was a little taken back. He thought for a moment, then he said, I doubt it very much. But the Christian opened up the Bible at that verse I quoted to you a little earlier, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, and he read the verse to him. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. And then he asked the atheist, do you believe in that? He was silenced, couldn't argue. couldn't debate any longer, couldn't deny it. And that's the reality, men and women. Everybody, even the atheist, knows that death is absolutely certain. The fact is tonight, there's nothing surer than the fact that you will depart one day from this life. So the certainty of his departure. Notice that he speaks in the second place about the closeness of the departure. The text says, the time of my departure is at hand. Now, if something's at hand, my Bible is at hand here. If something's at hand, then it means it's right beside you. It's not far away. It's virtually upon you. And that's what Paul's thinking of here. As Paul sat in the prison cell, he knew that death for him wasn't far away. It was ready to happen. And it was ready to happen at any time. Paul was under no illusion. He knew that he hadn't long to live upon this earth. As he sat there in the cell, he was expecting the Roman soldier to open the door at any moment and lead him out to the place of execution. So he says, the time of my departure is at hand. He's emphasizing the closeness of death. And men and women, I want to impress that truth, that sobering truth, upon every heart in the gathering tonight. I want you to take it in. You haven't long to live here upon this earth. You remember what Solomon said? He said there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. So it's very interesting that he doesn't say in that verse that there's a time to live. That's very interesting, very significant. The truth is this, that the day of our death is really so near to the day of our birth that the two can virtually be placed side by side. Death is near, men and women. Didn't David express the same truth, the same reality? He said to his very good friend, Jonathan, there is a step between me and death. You just think of a step. There you are. One step. A step's the shortest part of the journey. A step's not very far. It's not very far for anyone as far as distance is concerned. And you think of it. It's not far, men and women. Just a step to the journey of life for you will be over. You remember Paul writing to the Corinthians? He gave that great challenge in chapter 7 of his first epistle. The time is short. I pray the Spirit of God will come and apply that to everyone in the meeting tonight. The fact is, you don't have much time left upon this earth. You don't have much time, men and women, to get right with the Lord. Your departure is very near indeed. And can I ask you, does that not warn you this evening? Warn you of the need to get right with the Lord, to get ready for eternity? Especially if you're on in years, then death is very close for you. And it's a fearful thing, men and women, very fearful thing, to be so near to eternity, so near the end of your life, so near to your departure from this life, and still not be saved, still not be right with God. There's one other thing I want you to see in the text. He talks about the certainty of his departure, the closeness of it. There's his confession, the confession of the apostle about his departure. What confession did Paul make as he contemplated departing out into eternity? Well, the text says, I am now ready. And men and women, that's a great thing. It's a great thing. In the face of death, as you near eternity, near your departure from this life, it's a great thing to be able to say confidently. We were thinking of this morning of the assurance of salvation. Coming back to that thing, God willing, next Sabbath morning, It's a great thing to be able to say with assurance, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. You think of some of the things that Paul said about dying in the New Testament scriptures. Philippians 1:21, to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And the last text that Dr. Kern sent to his son Frank in America was that very text. To me to live is Christ, to die for the Christian is gain. Paul said, I have a desire to depart. Imagine that. We're thinking here about his departure. And he tells us he has a desire to depart and to be with Christ. So what do you think of the peace that Paul had as he faced the end of his life? Here is a departure from this world that is as peaceful and tranquil as a ship sailing out of port. Here's a man who has no fear of dying. And why was that, men and women? It's because he knew the Lord. Paul was a saved man. Remember that conversion? That dramatic conversion on the road to Damascus many years before. His sins were forgiven. So Paul knew he could go out to meet the Lord. He could go to the judgment and stand before God. And he could do that without fear, because he was a man that was ready to meet God. John Newton, it's interesting, John Newton, the text of scripture John Newton had upon his desk was the words of Deuteronomy 15, verse 15. It's a reference easy to remember. Thou shalt remember. Isn't it relevant to today? Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee thence. That verse summed up his life. Encouraged him through the years of his ministry. Remember that he had been a slave trader, but he had been a slave to sin. Thou shalt remember, you were a bondman in the land of Egypt. But the Lord did great things in his life. That verse reminds us, just to emphasize, the importance of remembrance. There are many verses in the scripture. Take the time as you read through the Bible to highlight them, to note them. The many times when God exhorts his people to remember, especially his great doings, his great deliverances in past time. John Newton lived to be an old man. He died at 82 years of age. In his last days, he would tell his friends, I'm like a parcel, packed up and addressed, just waiting for the carrier to come and take me to my destination. It's not a beautiful picture of death, the end of life. You see, his meaning was this. He was ready to go. When it was the Lord's time, when the Lord called, he was ready. So I want to ask you all that tonight at our remembrance service tonight. As you think of the end of life, departure, the time of your departure from this world, here's the vital question, men and women. Are you ready? You ready to go? Ready to face eternity? Are you sure tonight you're going to heaven? The Bible says, in the book of Amos, that great exhortation of the prophet, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. And I want to exhort you to do that. You need to prepare. There's nothing in this world that should take priority over that. Because the fact is, there is nothing more important in this world than preparing to meet God. Do you remember what Isaiah the prophet said, stood in the royal court of Judah before King Hezekiah, and he said to him, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. There's the certainty of death again. Thou shalt die. And in the light of the certainty of death, you need to set your house in order. You need to get ready, men and women. Sort out your affairs, especially spiritual affairs, the matter relating to your soul and its salvation. Now I want to plead with you all tonight to do that. Notice that Paul says, I am now ready. Isn't that the significant word in that little statement? I'm now ready. He's not saying that I plan the Beretta. He's not saying I hope to Beretta when the summons comes. He's not saying I intend to Beretta. No, there's greater assurance in it. He says I am now ready at this very moment. So I wonder, is that true of you, men and women? As you sit in the service tonight, as you sit in the gospel meeting, can you say right now, I'm ready? If the Lord were to call you from the pew where you sit, you know that you're ready to face death, ready to go out into eternity. If you're not, then remember this, that now is the appointed time. Now is the appointed time of salvation. Now is the only time you're sure of. Remember he said, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I'll say this just in closing. The sad thing we've been thinking here, particularly in the gospel of the unconverted, but the sad thing is that for some Christians, they're not ready to die. Why is that? Well, some are backslidden. Some are cold of heart. Some are out of the will of God. Some are not walking with the Lord. Some are not speaking to other believers, others in the fellowship. If that's your condition, then I want to urge you tonight to get right with the Lord, so that you could say with Paul too, I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. So death, a departure. I pray the Lord will speak to your heart through these words tonight, especially if you're out of Christ. Speak to us after the meeting if you're concerned about your soul. May the Lord write that text upon every heart tonight. I am now ready, and the time of my departure is at hand. We're going to sing just